it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. She is another one of our best friends, Camille Davis, in the house. Camille, how are you?
I'm doing good on this Monday. It's a perfect weekend, Mitch, when the Packers have already won. Mm-hmm. You get to just watch football. You get to hate watch some teams.
Yes.
It's a perfect weekend. Perfect weekend.
We talked about it a little bit in the first segment. I think I tweeted it out at 11:59. I took a picture of the countdown on the Red Zone channel. I said, you know, it was a minute and 36 seconds to go or whatever. I said, you know, I said exactly that. Packers already won. We got the Red Zone channel all day, switching back and forth between Red Zone and the Brewers game. And if I needed to focus on the Lions-Bears for a second, I could do that too. What a wonderful Sunday, Camille.
Truly. And it was nice outside too. Like, I went out, had a little walk, came back, watched football all day, had to get the exercise in before being on the couch for like 10 straight hours and just
that's smart.
Football and basketball and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. I usually get to the gym earlier on Sunday, but I didn't. And so I had to go later in the afternoon, and I was definitely dragging after, again, sitting still for like 4 hours. And then I was like, luckily my daughter, who, you know, she's the athlete. She was like, Dad, we got to go to the gym today. I was like, I love that. You're right. We do. Yes. Yeah, for sure. Let's start with the Packers because it was a great win Thursday night. It was a great message. And as we saw from this weekend, like, you know, Philly sends a message, but the Bears and the Vikings, probably who we thought they were. So from a Packers perspective, like, you know, what impressed you the most Thursday night against Washington?
That the defense stepped up to the charge again. Like the Lions defense or offense is challenging for sure. And we saw how that defense responded. Now you're going up against a Commanders team where you have a quarterback that is a rushing risk. And on top of that, it's a Commanders team that the week prior had quite a few different explosive plays that first week against the Giants, where you're just kind of like, okay, like, let's see if the Packers are going to be able to contain the explosive plays, contain Jaden Daniels, and see how this defense responds. And they did, again, force Jaden Daniels into the worst game of his young NFL career so far. And I was just impressed with the cornerbacks, the pass rush, like the entire operation of the defense impressed me, especially like a Keyshawn Nixon with 5 pass breakups in that game against the Commanders. There were so many questions about the secondary. And there are still some questions that they're going to have to answer those tests to, or the test questions to. But what we saw on Thursday just continued the hype train of like, this Packers team could be special.
Yeah. And I think that's the question everybody's asking today. Like, that is the question of the day. Are the Packers the best team in the NFL? Are they the best team in the NFC? Is anybody else sending a message 2 weeks into the season like the Packers are? And I think, like, my big thing is, man, I've been saying this for years. Who you are in November and December is not who you are in September and October. And it's like, as excited as I am today as a Packers fan, it's great. Like, let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy this ride. But we have no idea what these teams are going to look like 3 months from now. So let's not set up expectations for 5 of those last 7 games in the division plus Denver and Baltimore. Let's not set up expectations for playoffs and Super Bowl. Let's enjoy what's going on right now. And obviously with Cleveland coming up, let's not look ahead. Let's take care of Cleveland, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because that could be a trap game, especially knowing that you have Dallas the week after Cleveland, right before your bye week. So you got to take it all day at a time. And we've heard the locker room before say, like, we don't listen to outside noise when it's bad or when it's good. You have to kind of try to stay even. It is a long season. And we know injuries are a feature, not a bug of football. So, like, they're going to occur. We saw them have to overcome some injuries already in week 2. The NFL season.
The offensive line is a little shaky right now, Camille.
Yeah. So again, like, it's cool to take, you know, be excited about where you're at right now. But to your point, who you are in September does not mean that's who you're going to be come December and January. And I think those who are old enough to remember the last Super Bowl run, you know, 15 years ago now, which is crazy, that was 15 years ago, of how that team really started clicking in November, December, and where you're seeing it like, hey, this Packers team might be able to make some noise in the playoffs, then come to playoff run and you see what they do. So it's a long season. Take everything we got in time, but also take joy in the fact that you yes. can't look down the rest of the division right now. But just beware, if you give it out, if things turn and other teams start dishing it, it's all fair game.
I've not had the opportunity to meet him yet, as I know many of us have not. But Micah Parsons has done nothing but impress, both on the field, but also in the locker room. Also, you know, behind the microphone, the things he said. And I kind of feel like he's the type of guy who's going to lead the charge this week in not looking past Cleveland. And I think part of that is obviously the focus and the camaraderie he's finding in that locker room. At some point, we will have to take our Power of Friendship blue and yellow shirts for the Brewers and maybe get some green and gold Power of Friendship ones as well. But I do wonder if there's a little piece of Micah Parsons that sees that Myles Garrett already has 3.5 sacks on the season and says, hey, we can't take these guys lightly. I know how disruptive Garrett is. I got to catch up to him. And we as a team need to focus on this game.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that seems focused on just getting those wins. Even in week one, I saw like the sideline footage. And I forget who it was that was talking to Josh Jacobs, but they were like, we're going to get you going soon. We're going to get you going. We get you going. And you heard Jacobs respond of, man, I just want to win the game. Like, it's whatever. Just win the game. And we know in that week one matchup, the run game really didn't have much going for it. That first half, third quarter, they kept at it. Fourth quarter is when they finally started to see the results.
Yep.
And I think that mentality is one that this entire team shares now of, hey, we know we're still the youngest team in the NFL, but we're young with experience. We've had the highs of a playoff win that felt really good, you know, in Dallas. We've also felt the lows of the disappointment of losing to a San Francisco, of a Philly, you know, over the last 2 years as well. And you bring in Micah Parsons, who's really thirsty for those playoff victories, for that type of success. I think you just have a group of guys that's like, we want to win. I mm-hmm. think I've been saying like Micah Parsons feels like the cherry on top of what this team needed for energy. But yes. even before the trade, it felt like this defense, this team just had a different mindset heading into the season. So if they are who we think they are, this week three matchup against the Browns won't be a trap game. It'll be another example of a professional team coming out, getting a professional win.
I like that. Camille Davis joining us here on Middays with Thunder on the Fan. Follow her on Twitter at Camille Monet. Who is worse, J.J. McCarthy or Caleb Williams? That's actually our poll question we have up right now on Twitter. I can tell you some of our results if you want to hear them first, or do you want to give your take first?
I want to hear the results because that's a hard question to answer. Like, yep. J.J. McCarthy, he's played two games.
He's played two games. He's played one good quarter. It was a really good quarter.
And that's it.
But it was against the team that gave up 52 points yesterday. So right now, according to my calculations, I've got 60% saying JJ's worse, 40% saying Caleb's worse. So, Charlie, what do you got over there?
We got 55 saying JJ's worse, 44 yep. saying Caleb Williams.
So we're pretty much in the same zone. High 50s for JJ, low 40s for Caleb.
That feels about right for now, yeah. Given that, again, the sample size for McCarthy, it's just not a big sample size for JJ yet, right. And what we have seen has not been great mm-hmm. outside of that fourth quarter from him. And meanwhile, we've seen Caleb running for his life through most of last season with poor offensive line, but also making some decisions that you would probably want back, holding the ball too long. And this season, from what we see, even if you're just looking at this two-game sample size of these two quarterbacks, Caleb makes some throws and you're just like, man, the arm talent on this kid is for real. And then he'll do something and you're like, what was your decision making behind, like, the interception he had where he was forced out the pocket, it was pressured, and he just throws it up and it's like, why didn't you just throw it out of bounds? Like, yeah, live right. for the next.
What are we doing here?
I asked the question. It's the learning of it all, of like right. hopefully for Bears fans, hopefully for people who have an interest in the Green Bay Packers,
exactly.
But the hope is that Ben Johnson can kind of help continue to nurture him in his development. But Caleb is erratic at times, so I'll give him the nod for now, but at the end of the season, that's going to be a question worth revisiting.
What did you think of Ben Johnson yesterday when he was asked if he thought that they were running it up? And he's like, listen, they had fourth and goal at the one, like, I was there. Like, they don't kick field goals. They go for touchdowns. I had no problem with that. They were just playing football. I don't know if he was like trying to be politically correct and nice to his old boss. I don't know if he really believed that. It sure seemed like he took the upper, the high road on that. What did you think of that response?
Yeah, I thought that's the way you should respond. Like, he knows better than anybody. Like, he just came from there. He was just the offensive coordinator running it up on other teams. So he knows the mentality of that squad. So that's the way to take it. Like, he was very jovial and whatnot when he got that job with the Bears, making his cracks at Matt LaFleur and all of those things. Mm-hmm. And,
Keep making cracks, bro.
Exactly, because the Chicago media is not a friendly market. Like, if you're not producing those results, you're going to have to answer some questions. So I thought he handled that pretty well with the question in regards to if Detroit was running the score up.
Anything else pique your interest yesterday in the NFL? Obviously, we saw Philly run 47 tush pushes and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. So that could be, or anything else on your mind from yesterday in the NFL?
Yeah, I think just the teams that are 2-0, taking a stock of, like, I heard you mention this earlier, mm-hmm, too, of mm-hmm. the teams that are 2-0 and just being like, okay, what's really real here?
Yeah.
And then the opposite of that is the teams that are 0-2, what's really real here? Like, are you concerned about the Chiefs right now being 0-2, losing three games for the first time with Patrick Mahomes, including the Super Bowl? Yep. Like,
no, because I actually thought, I said it 2 weeks ago, I thought the Chiefs were done. Like, I liked the Potawatomi under for wins for Chiefs this year.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And actually, right before the season started, we had a reporter on from Phoenix, and we were talking about, because the Brewers were playing the Diamondbacks at the time. But he also said, he threw in at the end, he said, take the over on the Cardinals. They're going to surprise some people this year. Like, they're not ready to win playoff games, plural, but they're going to be better than people think. And, two games in, I don't know if they're really better than people think. Like, they've won two games they were supposed to win. Beating Carolina is not that impressive. But listen, you start the season 2-0, that's a good place to be.
It is. Even the Colts, like, haven't been 2-0.
The Colts?
In years.
With
in
Daniel years. Jones?
Looking like a real quarterback.
Should Minnesota have kept Daniel Jones?
If this is what JJ's going to give you, the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. But again, he's a young player. There is a lot of time for growth, and he's going to take his licks throughout the season. But yeah, the Colts being 2-0 surprised me. The Cardinals is one. I thought the Cardinals were going to be a playoff team this year.
Yep.
So this is boding well for my preseason predictions in regards to Arizona.
Absolutely it is. Camille Davis joining us here on the Fan, 1250 AM, 105.7 FM. The Fan, free on the Odyssey app and on the iHeart app as well. She joins us pretty often throughout the days on our local programming, talking Bucks, talking Packers. We're trying to get her to talk a little more Brewers. We're trying to get her excited. It's exciting right now. The Brewers still the best record in baseball.
Listen, just because I don't watch baseball often does not mean I don't love. I love the Brewers. When I saw the video too of the letter that Bob Uecker had.
Yeah, we're gonna be playing that later in the show too. Yep.
Like, how could you not? Like, that's the thing about sports in general, not just
why
sports.
Camille, why did you come to my house and just decide to cut onions out of nowhere? Like,
right?
I wasn't even planning to cry. And like, all of a sudden you came over and you were cutting onions. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm crying now. We might as well watch Pat Murphy, right?
Exactly. So like, it's a beautiful thing. Like, I'm all for the Brew Crew. And once the playoffs actually get underway, that is when I will watch most of the games. 162 games. That's a lot. Especially when I'm all for basketball.
I was going to say, 82 games is a lot. And, well, what we saw over the last couple of weeks, it's not just 82 games because Eurobasket and Eurohoops and all that was going on. How much of that did you take in? And obviously, Giannis became a pretty big story, both of, like, performing amazingly on the court and also maybe a little budding rivalry with Mr. Houston.
I know, that's right. I watched every game, actually, except for that game against Turkey when they got blown out.
What happened?
Maybe it's my fault.
Yeah, it could be. Camille, Camille, you did not do your job. We are mad at you now. All right.
The one I didn't watch live and I came back and said, oh,
they got blown up by Turkey.
Yeah, that's the one. But I did watch the Finland game, the bronze medal game in its entirety. Yep. That was one where it felt comfortable until the end when Finland just had a crazy comeback and it came down to the very last shot in that game. And ultimately, I'm really happy for Giannis, for Thanasis, for Kostas, for the entire Antetokounmpo family. I know some people took exception of Giannis saying that was the greatest accomplishment of his career, winning that bronze medal for Greece, but I get it. He mentioned when he won a championship in Milwaukee that part of why he loved it so much was because it unified thousands of people in the city, in the region.
80,000 people outside at the Deer District. We all remember that scene.
Thousands. And for him to do this for Greece, where now he's not with just thousands of people, but it's millions. Yeah. It's an entire country. Yeah.
He said it was like he had 12 million people like that who are on his shoulders, and he just wanted a medal. Here, let's listen to what Giannis said.
Thank you so much for the support. Without them, this is not possible. You know, they've supported this team through ups and downs. You know, we did it. This is one of the biggest, probably accomplishments that I've ever accomplished as an athlete. I know I've won an NBA championship, but there's no feeling like representing your national team and representing 12 million people that breathe and live this national team, you know. So this is probably the greatest accomplishment that I've accomplished so far in my life.
Listen, I know Bucks fans want to say, "Oh, we gotta win a playoff." You know, it's been too long since we won a playoff round, and we need you focused on the Bucks, man. If you don't love the spirit and the emotion of Giannis and like what his national pride, I mean, I don't want to get political, but I will say for one second that like we go out in America and we see like there are flags and people are very patriotic, and we have the 4th of July, and we have like, you know, it like there's a lot of pride in being an American. Not saying our country's perfect, but knowing that like, you know, that I mean, Stephen Colbert wins the Emmy last night, and at the end of it, he talks about how proud he is to be an American and that like things are hard right now, but like we can do hard things. Well, yeah. Giannis, we all know his background. Like we all know what it was like for him growing up in Greece, being an other, not, you know, being an illegal immigrant or kids, a child of an illegal immigrant, whatever that was. And then finding his way through basketball, through that opportunity, and then being welcomed back and being, you know, the shining sun of that nation. Like, if you don't get chills with this story and with his life story and him being proud and emotional at representing his country, man, this is what sports is all about.
It is. And that's the joy of the Giannis story, right? And for those who have followed him from the beginning, like, I've always laugh because I align Giannis's career with the start of my marriage. Like me and my husband started dating the year the Bucks drafted Giannis.
2013?
13. Okay. That's when we got together when
I'm Giannis old, but here. Sometimes I remember things. I was there that night.
I'll never forget the year because Giannis was drafted that year too. Like it's ingrained in my head in that way. And watching him being that like 18-year-old kid who came here, and now he is a 31-year-old grown man with 4 kids, a wife. He's accomplished MVPs, Defensive Player of the Years, championships, NBA Cups, now bronze medals. Like to see him become one of the 75 greatest players to ever play in the NBA in the history of this league. It's beautiful to see the growth in him and to be someone who's been able to like Milwaukee. We watched this journey from the beginning, and that's the beautiful thing with it. Like even those lean years for the Bucks when they weren't winning and it was hard to watch games in public and you getting ridiculed, like that made the championship, to in my opinion, even better because you watched that entire story leading up into it. So like again, shout out to Giannis winning that bronze for Greece. Shout out to Greece for that. Like Bucks fans are low-key Greece fans when they're not playing United States. Well, so I just love that aspect.
Yeah, we just want Giannis. We want Giannis to do well. But as a selfish Bucks fan too, I want this to translate so that when Giannis gets back, he shares that experience with his teammates. But he also, as we know, like Giannis is nothing if not work ethic, but that he shows that like how important this is to his teammates and that it's time to get to work and starting in training camp in September and starting in exhibition games. Like, I mean, exhibition, you know, it's fake basketball, but starting when the season starts in October, like it is, you don't wait till March. This team can't wait till March or April to get to work. They got to get to work immediately. They got a bond. You know, it's new faces. There's Dame's not there. You know, figuring this out, I think that's what I want to see, this energy from Giannis translate over to this Bucks team this year.
I think that's one of the bigger storylines heading into the season, because if you think about the championship year when PJ Tucker came, he mentioned like they got, like, we're all dogs. They just needed someone to help communicate. Like, they don't talk. Giannis doesn't talk. Right. Chris don't talk. They just go out there and they play and they hope people follow their lead based on how they play. But you heard even last year, Giannis was becoming a more vocal.
I was going to say, do you think Giannis talks more? I was going to agree. Like, Giannis talks more now than he used to, right?
And then even for Eurobasket, you heard the Greece coach just say like, hey, Giannis is being super vocal. Like, I haven't heard him be this vocal. So that's something I hope continues to carry over and something I think is going to be needed for the Bucks this upcoming year, with him being like the big bet on the team. It's him and Bobby Portis, of like your longest standing members on this Milwaukee Bucks team now. So leadership is going to be very important from him and from Bobby, to be honest.
Camille Davis joining us here on The Fan. She's on The Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. It is, you know, it's this mini buy that the Packers have. Going back to the Packers real quick. You know, it does give the team time for rest. It does, you know, we were so excited for those first two games, the two home games. And now you get into the grind, right? Like, now you get into it. It's Cleveland, but then it's Sunday Night Football against Dallas. Then it's a bye again. I know with the wide receiver room kind of in flux right now, what are you looking for over the next week or so with the Packers that they need to, you know, is it how the offensive line figures out injuries? Is it Jaden Reed and then Christian Watson coming back, or Matthew Golden's role? Or is it more just like sitting back and watching the defense be the best defense in the NFL right now?
Yeah, I think the wide receiver room is going to be an interesting point. But I think for me, over the next couple of weeks, what I'm really looking for from the Packers is just seeing how consistent can you be? How disciplined can you be? Because when you think about last year's Packer team, and even the year before that, Jordan Love's first year starting, the big Achilles heel was like the penalties. And this preseason, I was like, hey, we're still seeing a little too many. We haven't seen that so far. But in a game against like a Browns team that hasn't won anything yet, can you still have that discipline to make sure you're doing what you need to be doing? Can the Packers just not beat themselves? That's what I'm really looking for, because if the Packers show me that they can be a disciplined team consistently, that right there gives me really, really good feelings about what their ceiling could possibly be for this year.
Yeah, I think, and that's as I harp on every week, like, that's the exciting thing that we all get to find out together, right?
Yeah.
Like, we all, like, it's all going to happen. We get to be a part of it. We get to watch it. And no matter what, you know, that we're all part of Packer Nation, and we get to see what happens. Tell everybody what you're working on. What are the different podcasts you got going on? Where can we find it? What are you talking about these days?
Yeah, for sure. So Locked On Bucks, still Monday through Friday for you all, giving you that 30 minutes of Bucks talk every single day.
Nice.
Pack-A-Day podcast. I am there on the Monday, every Monday on the audio side. I'm also on the Pack-A-Day YouTube page, post-game with instant reactions.
Nice.
Doing Ahead of the Pack with Cheesehead TV, comes out every Thursday, normally previewing the upcoming opponent for the Packers. And then the Technical Foul podcast drops every Wednesday. We record it live every Tuesday on our YouTube page, where we cover NBA, NFL, and pro wrestling.
I was going to say, we got WrestlePalooza coming up.
Yes, we'll be previewing that this week.
Yep, that's coming up Saturday night. Should be interesting. I know there was some not so great feedback for the WWE with their most recent announcement. If you missed it, WrestleMania 47, which is in 2026. Nope, which is in 2027, will be in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. And the thought that the first WrestleMania not in North America was going to go to London And it goes instead to Riyadh because they wrote a really big check. So I believe there were already chants in Vegas on Friday night during the AAA takeover when they showed the commercial for it of "You sold out, you sold out, you sold out." I mean, listen, again, like every situation's political and every situation's financial. We live on Earth in 2025, right? The press conference, the WWE stars did not look happy to be there. And it's just, you know, and even Triple H, who was making the announcement, didn't look because it wasn't him. It was his board. I mean, I don't, as a fan, I'm kind of torn on this one because I frankly don't love the shows in Riyadh. I don't think they're great shows. And I think it's not, you know, as much, you know, being a girl dad, like, I don't think the women are, you know, have the opportunity to shine as much either. I don't know, like, but they got paid hundreds of millions of dollars to do it.
And that's what they care about.
And who says no to hundreds of millions of dollars? It's hard.
Not TKO. Not WWE. TKO,
that's for sure. That's for sure. All right. So that's the Technical Foul podcast that comes out every Wednesday, right?
Yes, where we talk the wrestling.
All right, so we will. I'm sure there'll be some reaction to that, and of course, looking ahead to Cena and Lesnar, among other matches. But I think we're all excited for Cena and Lesnar Saturday night in Indianapolis. Any party you want to drive down to Indianapolis Saturday? You thinking about it?
No, not for WrestleMania.
Four and a half hours. It's really easy.
That's all right. That's all right. I got other things to do. 2K came out a couple weeks. I got to make sure I get my player
right,
Mitch.
All right. You're right. That's a good point. Camille, thank you so much for jumping on today. We'll definitely talk to you, down the road. And we'll be listening to all the different audio opportunities and video with all the different podcasts. So thank you so much for jumping on today.
For sure. Look forward to the next time.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.